Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. This week, we wrap up our series on the Good Shepherd as we look at Psalm 23 one last time. Chris shares a message about how the Lord is our strength. If you want to find out more about Cornerstone, visit us online at mycornerstone.org. Thanks for joining us.
So we're continuing our sermon series this morning in Psalm 23. And you know, Mike mentioned, or I think maybe Eugene mentioned, he said, how are we going to have 3 weeks worth of messages on six verses of scripture? So it's been a little bit challenging to not say the same thing as the person before you said about Psalm 23, but there's plenty of stuff there for us to dive into and plenty of stuff that God can speak to us about through this scripture. So we're going to read Psalm 23 once again from verse 1 all the way through verse 6. And our computer's being extremely slow this morning, so if the slides are behind, that's why. Brady's doing the best he can. But all right, so we're going to read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there we go. We got this. Brady's back there going, I'm not touching it. But it is a little bit of a delay, but that's okay. So we're going to continue in this, but I want to focus in on verses 4 through 6 this morning. So we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 6, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so the one phrase that stands out in there, or I guess it's a couple phrases in a couple different places, but a few words, is even though I will. Can y'all say that with me? Even though I will. So what I get from that is, even though I face hardships, and even though the enemy's lurking, even though there's sickness, there's disease, there's division all around us, there's sadness, there's hate, even though all that's happening, I will not fear because the Lord is my shepherd. Even though that situation at work is probably not ideal, maybe it's uncertain if you're even going to have a job next week, even though our nation's divided, you know, there's so many people, you're either on one side or you're on the other, and there's no middle ground there, even though the enemy's chasing after us, I will not fear. That's what this tells us. I will fear no evil. And even though I may not have what my neighbors have, Mike talked about this last week, even though I may feel like I don't have as much as I need or I want, the Lord provides all that we need. So we will not fear. That's what this tells to us. Even though my finances are all jacked up, I'll trust in the Lord to provide what I need. Even though I will trust the Lord to protect me. I'll take comfort in knowing that he is with me, that he is my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd or somebody else's shepherd. He's my shepherd. He cares for me, and he cares for you. He can be your shepherd as well if you'll just let him. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. That's something we can take comfort in. God is with us. He is walking through with us, not sending us into. That's my first point in the, I think it's on a slide there. God is walking through with us, not sending us into. So we can take comfort in knowing that even though we may be going through a valley, we may be going through hardships, trials, God is right there with us, and we can take comfort in knowing that. He's walking through. He's not sending us alone. We don't stand a chance against Satan on our own, right? So I'm thankful that God goes with us through the valleys. And he doesn't just say, go on your own and do the best you can do. He's right there with us. He's right alongside of us. That's what good shepherds do, right? Good shepherds wouldn't send their sheep into a valley that they know is really dangerous. They would go with them and protect them, comfort them, guide them. So that's what God's doing. That's what he's saying to us through this passage of scripture. And again, I don't want to try to rehash everything that Eugene and Mike said in the past couple weeks, but it's kind of what we have to do to get there. So one important thing that I pulled from this, I'd never seen this before, but as I was reading through this, it kind of came to me. It says the valley of the shadow of death. So if you think about that, you read that a little bit deeper, it's talking about the valley of the shadow of death. So really, death is not even there, right? It's just the shadow of death. Only the shadow remains. That's the second point that I put in the slides. Only the shadow of death remains. If we're a believer, if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, if we've asked Him for forgiveness to be our shepherd, if we've accepted Him, the Holy Spirit is within us, and only the shadow of death remains. And you think about that, a shadow can't harm us, right? If there's a shadow cast across our path, we might slow down a little bit just to make sure it is a shadow, but we can go right on through. You know, a shadow of a dog can't bite us, right? A shadow of a sword can't kill us. Only the shadow remains. So the shadow of death cannot destroy us, so we should not be afraid. And then the other thing I kind of got from this is where there's a shadow, what does there have to be? It has to be a light, right? If there's a shadow, there's got to be a light shining on it somewhere. So that's what I take from this is death is just standing at the side of the road, and the light of heaven is shining on him and casting a shadow. So if we're a believer, if we have Jesus, if we're following Jesus, we have hope, because Jesus is the light that's shining that casts a shadow. There is hope for us. There's light beyond. So we can take comfort in that. Another little analogy that kind of goes along with this is death is not the end. There's light beyond. And then I read this analogy. It's kind of cool. But sometimes honeybees, you know, when a honeybee stings you, sometimes their stinger will stay in you. And then if that happens, the bee will perish. It will die. So death left its sting in Jesus on the cross. I thought that was a neat comparison that if you compare death to a bee, he left its sting in Jesus on the cross, and it's no longer there to affect us. Death can no longer affect us. God is with us through the valleys. He will protect us. We can have hope in knowing that death has no dominion over us. You know, a lot of times we have fears and worries that are unwarranted, right? I know often our fears are rooted in what ifs. You know, what if my child gets sick? What if I lose my job? What if my kids turn out to be not what I thought they would be? What if I'm ruining my kids by the way I parent? What if my lunch date is going to be late? What if they're late and I'm just start running through these scenarios? Maybe I bet they were in a car accident. I better call and check on them. All these things that kind of run through our heads. What if I get cancer? What if my teenager doesn't come home? What if I make a mistake and I'm humiliated in front of everyone? And sometimes we go through these thought patterns and, most of that's unwarranted. Some of that stuff could happen, but a lot of times we're just Satan's throwing these worries and fears at us for no reason at all. And there was a study done that shows that 91%, think about that, 9 out of 10 of our worries never come true. So if you think about that, 9 out of 10 of the things that you're worrying about are probably not going to happen. Now, sometimes they do, because there's evil in the world. There's sickness. We all know that. We can't avoid all things, but to worry about it really doesn't help anything. And that, you know, that's kind of, this verse reminds us to not to worry, because God has everything under control. And even in that study, it said that the most common amount of fears that didn't come true was 100%. So 10 out of 10 of our worries didn't come true most of the time in this study. So we can take comfort in knowing that God has everything under control. Sometimes we worry so much, we convince ourselves that something's happened, right? We think through this scenario and we're like, it's got to be what happened. And then we find out that didn't happen. Sometimes we worry about things to the point, we might worry about being sick to the point where we feel sick. Anybody ever experienced that? You say, man, I'm just feeling weird. And then the more you think about it, the worse you feel. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to go into these thought patterns. There's pain, there's evil in the world. And we may go through a valley of the shadow of death. We may go through some tough times. But for us, if you're a believer, just like David, we can have comfort in knowing that our good shepherd is right there with us. He's going through it with us. And there's hope. We have hope because God is there. We might feel anxious or afraid, but we can rest assured that God is there with us. And he will protect us. We need hope. And this verse tells us we can have hope because the Lord is our shepherd. And we shall not want. Even when darkness is all around me, I'll not fear. You lead me, you guide me, you protect me, you provide all that I need. That's what this passage says to us. You're probably wondering why I brought a paddle up here. What does a paddle have to do with sheep and shepherds? And a friend of mine, I posted on Facebook because I didn't have one of these. I have a plastic one, but I needed a wooden one because that's what really happened in the story I'm about to tell. And hopefully this kind of comes full circle. But when I was thinking through this and trying to come up with an illustration, this came to mind. So just go with me here. So growing up, as I was, our family always had boats. For some reason, we would have a boat for a few years, and then we would not have a boat, and then we'd have another boat. But anyway, we were always going to different places, fishing, swimming, you know, the whole deal. So even after Brandy and I were married, and we were kind of on our own, my dad still had a boat. So you know, when your dad has something, it's basically yours, right? So I borrowed his boat. Me and Brandy's brother Brad, we borrowed the boat, and we took off to Bilsby, and it was middle of the day, so you know it was a nice summer day. And if you don't know where Bilsby is, it's kind of over this direction, but it's near Iron Ridge, but it's kind of like a little lake. It's part of the river, but there's a dam, so it's kind of like a lake, so there's no current. If you've ever ridden down the New River Trail and you've come to Freeze Junction, there's the big iron, or I guess it's iron, big trestle, train trestle that goes across the river. That's your over top of Bilsby. So just give you some context there. So we took off, and I'm the kind of person who, if I'm excited about something and I'm ready to go do something, no matter how much I prepare, I can think about it for a week and like, did I get this? Did I get that? Did I do this? Did I do that? No matter how much I try to prepare, I'll inevitably forget something. So that happens. It happened many times with boating experiences. And if you've ever been in a boat and something bad happens, you're kind of in the middle of the water, it's not a good thing, right? You're just stuck. So back to the Bilsby adventure. So we took off from the boat landing. We ran the engine up to above and went underneath the trestle. And then as soon as we got under the trestle, there's kind of a muddy spot. And we kind of bottomed out in the mud, and of course it killed the engine. The propeller was stopped up with mud, so it killed the engine. So we're like, oh, that's cool. We're kind of where we wanted to be anyway. So we just put out the trolling motor, and if you're not familiar with that, trolling motor is a battery-operated motor that's really quiet, and you can kind of maneuver around and get close to things while you're fishing. So we just dropped the trolling motor, and we fish for several hours, and, you know, it's starting to get dark, and we're like, well, we should probably go. We weren't planning on staying, you know, until dark or after dark. So we're like, well, we'll go ahead and fire up the big engine. We'll take off back to the landing. And so I sit down and turn the key, and nothing happens. So it turns out when we got stuck in the mud, it killed the engine. The dummy driver didn't turn the key off. That dummy driver was me. So this whole time, the battery's been, you know, the key's been on, the battery goes dead. So here we are. In Bilsby, there's no current, right? Because it's dammed up below us. So it's kind of like a lake. There's no current. We're way away from the boat landing. It's getting dark. We didn't bring any lights. And both of the batteries are dead because we've been using the trolling motor battery to troll around and do all this fishing. So we're like, okay, what do we do now? So the only thing we could do was paddle. So that's why I brought a paddle. So we're, you know, way upriver. The wind's blowing upriver, so it's almost like we're either not moving or we're going backwards. And, you know, it's one thing to paddle a kayak or a little canoe, but if you're in a big boat that's, you know, this far off the water and you got to paddle about this long, then, you know, you got to, like, lean over to paddle. So it's not easy. So we're paddling, and I'm like, we should probably let our wives know that we're going to be late. So we did have a cell phone. But guess what? Battery's dead. So this is not our day for batteries. And, you know, as we're paddling, I'm looking at Brad, and I'm like, I don't really want to say this because I don't want to jinx us, but what happens if we get to the truck and the truck battery's dead? So thankfully that did not happen. But anyway, we're paddling down the river. You know, we're taking turns paddling because, it, you know, we're getting tired. It's getting dark. And let me tell you, if you've ever been, you know, out in the river in the middle of summer and it's dark, it's dark. This is like, you know, you got mountains on both sides. There's no houses because it's the middle of nowhere. No lights, no nothing. So it's dark, right? We didn't bring any flashlights, no anything. All our batteries are dead anyway, so it wouldn't matter if we had lights. So suddenly we start hearing like these weird noises, and I'll try to make the sound effect, but it's kind of like, and we're like, what is that, you know? And you hear it, and it's dark, so we can't see what it is, but we can see like these, you know, we can kind of see silhouettes of something, and you know, we're like, what the heck is that? Is it bats? I think Brian just said bats. It's not bats. And if you give you a little education here, I guess this is called, I'm not sure what the term is, but this there's these little bugs in the river. They're called helgramites. I think Brady has a picture. If we can throw the slide up here. Maybe. So this is a helgramite. And the name helgramite is probably because these little things come straight from hell. No, but you can see they have pinchers, and if they get a hold of you, it doesn't feel good. It hurts. This is actually, these are actually a nymph. They're a couple inches long. Fish absolutely love to eat them, but they're really ugly, and they're really slimy, and they can pinch you. But what happens is these, again, are a nymph, and they're larvae, so eventually they hatch. And I think we have a slide of what they hatch into. Yeah, so that's what they hatch into. And they're about the size of your hand, and that's what we kept hearing flying around. So we finally figured out what it was, and these things are flying around everywhere, like trying to land on us because we're probably the brightest thing. Like, we're wearing white shirts, so we're the brightest thing, and, you know, bugs are attracted to lights, so... And the boat's white, so these things are flying around everywhere. And, you know, I figure I'm a kind of a tough person, but these things absolutely terrify me. The huge bugs are not my friend. So these things are flying around. They're flopping all over us and even, like, trying to land on us. And the only weapon we have is a paddle. So you can imagine us out in the middle of the river in the dark swinging this paddle. And we forgot about trying to get to the truck because we're trying to defend ourselves from these giant bugs. But the funny thing is, they can't really hurt you when they've hatched and when they're bugs. The females can still actually bite you. If you saw on the picture there, the male, for some reason their pinchers end up really long and they're just basically useless. So they can't really do anything with them. So bringing this back to Psalm 23 and our shepherd, our fears are a lot of times unwarranted, right? We were afraid, we were scared to death of these stupid bugs that probably weren't going to hurt us. They were just trying to land near us. But we had our rod. I compare this to the rod of the shepherd. We were protecting ourselves with our rod. And so we think about that. It says the shepherd, he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So our shepherd has a rod, and he's protecting us with that rod. If you think back, or if you research this a little bit, a shepherd's rod was like a short little club. So it's like a little 3 or 4 foot long club that's, you know, about the size of your hands to grip, that you can really swing really well to protect and defend the sheep from danger. Another thing it was used for, let me grab this again. Another thing it was used for was for the shepherd to count the sheep. So if they're coming into the fold, you know, there's a fenced area. He's at the gate. He holds the rod up over the gate. And as each sheep passes through, he counts them. So he knows each one, right? He's like, there goes Fluffy, there goes Rambo. You get my dad jokes. There goes Eustace. Never mind. Sorry. Anyway, that's what he did. So he knew every sheep by name. He knew all the sheep that were supposed to come under his rod. If they didn't pass through, as Mike mentioned and Eugene both mentioned, they would go search for the one that was missing. So they had multiple uses. It was to count the sheep. It was to protect the sheep, to defend off any beast that might come against the sheep. So... the shepherd stood between the sheep and any danger. So the rod was actually made from a trunk of a tree. So it was like the most sturdy part of the tree is what they would make the rod from. So it was good and sturdy so it could, you know, you could really whack something with it and not worry about breaking it. But it was only as good as the shepherd who was carrying it, right? If the shepherd was the weakling, it doesn't matter how big your stick is. If you don't know how to use it, you can't really fight off any beasts. But David, who wrote this, you know, David, who wrote this psalm, was a shepherd. So he could relate. He knew what it was like to have to defend something with the rod. And kind of to bring that into light here, we're going to read from 1 Samuel 17. And this is a pretty familiar story, but I think it brings things in full circle here. So in 1 Samuel 17, 19 to 24, I'm just going to read from here. So if it doesn't match exactly, apologize, but it'll be close. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks. All the men of Israel were afraid of him and fled. So here we see this, and you know how the story goes. David wasn't afraid because God was with him. God had given him everything he needed to take care of the situation and do what needed to be done. He had been training for this day, believe it or not, because he was a shepherd. So we'll continue reading on. We'll skip down to verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine." So David says, "I'm going to go fight this big dude." And Saul, David's trying to convince him that he can do it. And Saul's like, "Have you seen this guy? He's huge, right? He's like three times your size. What's little puny you going to do?" And David says, "I'm not afraid because as a shepherd, I faced lions and I faced bears and I defeated them." So we'll continue reading on. It says, "When a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of its mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said, "Go, and the Lord be," what? "With you." So back to Psalm 23, it says, "I will not fear because you are with me." The Lord is with David. David knew all about how to protect himself. He knew how to fight off lions and bears. And it says he grabbed it by the beard and struck it and killed it. So a good shepherd knew how to handle himself and to fend off and to protect his sheep. So we put that into context of God being our shepherd. He knows what he's doing, right? He can handle the rod and he can take care of any beast that might come against us. So he's our strength. He comforts us. He protects us. And, there was a lot of things to be feared and that might come against the sheep in the lands where David was used to keeping his sheep. So he was ready and he was able to take on any predator that might come against the sheep. And in Psalm 23, David kind of places himself in the role of a sheep, right? He knows that when the good shepherd's around, that the fears that the sheep may have are dispelled because he has a rod and he knows how to take care of business. He will quiet all the fears of the flock and take care of them. And he's a faithful and able shepherd. So we can put that into context again. As God is our shepherd, he's very capable. He's able to defend us. Focus in on the phrase from the scripture that says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And if you look up the definition of comfort, it is to give strength and hope to. So because God is our shepherd, he has a rod, he has a staff, and he's going to protect us and give us strength. He's going to give us comfort. He's going to give us hope. God is our comfort and strength. That's another point on the slides there. When pressure comes against us, we need comfort. And our good shepherd, God, can and will bring that comfort. If we read on this, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If you look at that phrase, "goodness and mercy follow," again, I kind of bring that back to goodness and mercy follow us, that God is going with us through the valley. He doesn't just send us in there and say, "Go for it, do the best you can do." He's going with us. He's following us through. He's right behind us. He's right there beside us. He's there to protect us. He's there to get us through the toughest times, not just sometimes, but all the days of our life, right? That's what the scripture tells us. All the days of our life, he's right there with us. And, we can dwell on fears and we can curl up in a cave and hide somewhere. And we can shrivel up and shrink. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to hide and be afraid of everything around us. You know, there's times when we do need to kind of, you know, with COVID, we do need to kind of separate a little bit and not be gathering in large groups and all that stuff. But we can still worship together and praise together and encourage each other. Thanks to technology, we're still able to do that. So even though we're going through a dark valley, God is with us, and we're still able to share His love with everyone around us. I want to read the last thing I have to do here is to read Psalm 95. I'm going to have Luke and Abby come on back up. They got a couple more songs to lead us in. And as they're doing that, I want to pray, and then we'll read Psalm 95 together. Lord, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. We thank you that no matter what comes against us, Lord, no matter what valley we're going through, no matter the fears that we may have, God, we know that you're there to protect us. We know that you are willing and able to protect us, God, that you have everything in your hands, that you control anything and everything that happens around us and to us. We thank you for just the sacrifice that was made on the cross, Lord, that Jesus came, that he lived a perfect life, that he took our sin to the cross, Lord, and that you nailed it there and left it there. We pray as we leave here, Lord, as we head back out into the world, that you would help us to just look to you for comfort, Lord, to know that you're right there with us, that you are our strength. We pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, that hasn't made you the shepherd of their life, if they haven't given over their life to you, Lord, we pray that today would be the day that they would do that, that they would find comfort in knowing that Jesus can take everything that's going on in their life, that their sin can be forgiven, that they can have a good shepherd to protect them and guide them, and to have a light to look forward to, even in the darkest of days. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And, you know, we have response time here, multiple ways you can respond. You can go up to the cross, write out a prayer request, something you might have that's going on you need prayer for. The elders check those every week. We pray over those, so I encourage you to do that. You can come take communion. You can stay where you are. You can sing. You can come back, talk to me or Larry or one of us back there if you need prayer or just need somebody to talk to, whatever it is. But before we do that, let's stand together, and we'll have Psalm 95 on the screen. I'd like for us to read this together, so no pressure, Brady, if you can keep the slides moving. All right, let's read Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.